up, everybody, and welcome to Dear Black Men. You good? A podcast where Black men can share space, connect, collab, find community, and heal. A podcast for us, by us. Please do not forget this is a therapeutic support group and not group therapy. We will cover topics that closely relate to mental health, but be advised this podcast does not replace therapy. So pull up and tune in from wherever you are and enjoy this dope Black space.
All right, welcome to another episode of Dear Black Man. You good? Y'all might be wondering who this voice is, because normally it's Marvin Tolliver, LCSW. Great, great therapist, great human being. He's off, and we're here with some really dope guests. I have been hyped for about 2 weeks, actually a little bit longer when we thought about doing this episode, but we are here celebrating Women's History Month. And I'm going to let the guests obviously introduce themselves, but we have a thing that we do here. We like to check in, and that check-in looks like just saying your name, your pronouns, your location, and how you feeling. And I guess I could start. My name is Khalif Troy. Pronouns, he, him, his. Location, West Philadelphia, the best Philadelphia. And I'm feeling a little under the weather, but I'm trying not to give that off. I'm also excited to be in space with all of you beautiful people. And that's me. Who would like to take it?
I'll take it. So my name is Tiffany Barrett. Pronouns are she, her, hers. I am checking in from Brooklyn, New York City. And I'm feeling a little bit tired, but that Black joy is permeating underneath because I'm in space with my folks.
I know that's right. My name is Kim Young. I am checking in from Richmond, Virginia, by way of San Diego, California, though. I always got to represent California. I'm feeling grounded today, and my pronouns are she, her, my name.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Tiffany Bacon. My pronouns are she, her. I am checking in from Philadelphia, Chestnut Hill section, and I am feeling tired, but extremely grateful.
Dope. And we are grateful to have you here. All right, y'all. Look, we ain't gonna wait. We're gonna get right into it. We are here celebrating Women's History Month. And what we wanted to do is center Black women, because that's what I think of when I think of Women's History Month, Black and brown women. But I'm going to pose the question to y'all first. What are your thoughts on Women's History Month? Like, do you celebrate it? Why or why not?
I didn't even know what it was. I'm going to keep it a buck. It's like, you know how you can look good on Google and be like, what is the holiday for today? And they'll tell you, like, today is your cat pet day, or today is National Margarita Day, whatever it might be. And so I honestly didn't have a context for understanding or knowing what Women's History Month was until I got into the field of social work and saw the correlation between the social work month being the same month as Women's History Month. And then for me, that has made me think, oh, they made that for white women. So that's honestly been my context and my understanding of Women's History Month.
Yeah, I would say the same. I definitely did not feel like it was a month that was made for us. I definitely didn't feel like we were centered because I'm in so many women focused spaces as an educator, as a birth worker, and as an artist. I'm almost forced to, you know, take note of it because everyone else, the kids are like, Miss Tiffany, what are we doing for Women's History Month? What are we doing? So I'm almost forced to acknowledge it. But this year, I decided to take up space. This year, I was like, you know what? If I have to acknowledge it, we finna take up space. And I've been encouraging my students that are femme-identifying to do the same. And we went out last night, and I was so proud of them because they were taking up space, honey. They were taking up space.
That's only like a term.
That's what's up. I'll say I'm just like my other sisters here on the platform. I did not know about it. I don't even know when I became aware of it. But since I work in media and also used to work in public health, I had to know about it for a variety of reasons. And because I'm in spaces that have big platforms, you know, I make room to celebrate us. I'm not aware of how other people celebrate it, but I'm like, oh, okay, I'm a part of this media platform. So this is what we fitting to do to elevate Black women. If this is what the celebration is, great. Here's a whole bunch of Black women. Let's just pick a subject, any subject, because we exist in all of the subjects. And so we're just going to celebrate us in all the subjects that exist. And so that's how I celebrate it. I'm putting up air quotes. I celebrate it by making sure I highlight Black women on whatever platform I'm associated with.
Yo, I absolutely hear that. And I feel similarly in that. I think I learned about Women's History Month probably when I got into the social space as well. But I know that there's a lot of areas around us that celebrate it. They're hype about it this month. And I know that I was, just from the standpoint that I wanted to uplift Black women. But the question that I have is, why do you think Black women are often overlooked when it comes to these larger women's celebrations and ideas like Women's History Month or feminism?
Let's be clear, because the goal is always to overlook us in general. You know, in the reality that we live in is that we exist in spite of, we persist in spite of, you know, there's nothing that wants to center us. Even when it's obvious that something originated from us, it's obvious that we are the original woman. We got the Eve gene, honey. Like, what else do we need? We still, they don't want us to be centered. So, you know, it's that Black women alchemy that we do, that we take anything and we make lemonade out of it. I don't care what it is. We always find a way to make something bitter sweet. So even though we're not centered, just like we all just said, we make it about us. We make it about us. I don't think we're at a time anymore where we're waiting for people to center us. We know it's not going to happen. So we do it ourselves because it's necessary. You know, when I became a grandmother, that was a shift for me because I refuse for my granddaughter not to see herself. I refuse. It's just not going to happen. Not on my watch. You know, and that impacts all of the other, you know, girls and women around us because they benefit for whatever strides are being made for her. And I think that's just what we've always done. We've always done that as Black women.
I agree, sis, all the way. Let me tell you something. From the time I was a little itty bitty child, my mom has always made sure that I had some kind of representation. Even if I didn't see it in the media, if I didn't see it in places of public consumption, she made sure I saw it some kind of way, whether it was she would find the, you know, back in the 70s, it was like, OK, get Ebony Jet. Ebony Junior magazine, or find these little things that highlight something that I can identify with. And if it doesn't exist, she would create it for me. So my whole mindset is whatever doesn't exist, you create it, or you connect with people who are willing to create to fill the void. So I'm not as in tune with who is and who isn't for the purposes of them doing it, but to say, oh, okay, there's a void here, let's fill it. And that gets exhausting after a while because we're always having to do that. But for those who are like, well, this is my energy center, you know, I'm going to fill voids because, you know, that's my mission. God said, this is what you're going to do. So I'm going to listen and I'm going to do it. For those that are like, I'm tired of doing it, then those that are not tired are like, hey, that's all right. Sit back. Chill. We got this. If there are alliances made with people that have bigger platforms than ours, awesome. Because we've seen that, especially since the pandemic, different people are like, oh, even if it was fleeting, different people would say, oh, okay, we're going to highlight Black folks this week. okay, align with it. Get that out there on the bigger platform, but still do the work. Don't rely on someone else giving you that. Still create what you need to create. We need to be the owner and producer of our story so that it's told accurately and with nuance.
Absolutely. Because it would be incredibly unrealistic for us to believe that Women's History Month has anything to do with us. Like, all these months, even Black History Month, that ain't really got nothing to do with Black people. Black 365, 366, not 28, 29 days out of a month. And so when I imagine like the foundation of Women's History Month had probably has much to do with what like equal rights movements, which were white feminist movements. And so, of course, they built something to celebrate them. And so for us to think that they were thinking about us at all in the creation of Women's History Month and try to force it, like force ourselves into it, take up the space. Absolutely. But I believe that we take up space beyond March. You know what I mean? It's like some people, they literally wait for their month to come and they try to show up full and who they are. But I think for us, we have been taking up space every single day because when we don't, we die. When we don't, we're overlooked. When we don't, we're forgotten about. When we don't, we're not heard. Right. And so I think it's just unrealistic for any Black woman along the spectrum to any believe that they were ever thinking about us when they created Women's History Month.
Amen. Amen.
So with that, because bars, we know how important representation is and how much it matters, both in history and in modern media. I think we are all in our respective spaces in the media, especially if you're on social media. How do you think representation of Black women has evolved over time and what still needs to be done if it's evolved over time?
I'll jump in a little bit here. I definitely see the evolution. I see the evolution through media, through creative media, through entertainment media, in that in the last 10 or 15 years, we've started to see more developed, more nuanced stories centering Black women, whereas before we didn't. I look at, and you can look at whomever, Shonda Rhimes was kind of like the first one out the gate for some folks on major network TV to present certain stories that don't just have this real flat, you know, they're going to be a sidekick to a white character all the time, or their story isn't centered, or they're not complicated, or they're not whatever. For a long time, you didn't get that. For a long time, it's funny. I had a conversation with someone younger. I think she's she may be Gen Z. I'm not really sure. But anyway, she's younger. And she asked me, you know, what did my generation see in shows like Good Times and things of that nature? And it was pretty difficult for her to kind of wrap her mind around the idea of like really limited, super limited representation. And we were just excited to see Black people on TV, like for real, for real. It was like Good Times is on because everything else is everything else is not, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we had Good Times, we had Sanford and Son, we had all this stuff, and we were excited to see Black people. And we, and as a child, didn't have to go deep into the nuance of the representation. It was just, there's representation. So to start from, we are happy to see Black people on TV, not necessarily stepping and fetching, but seeing them on TV, to now there's nuanced stories. Now there's Black people in horror movies, and they're not killed off in the first 5 minutes, and they remain throughout the whole series. Yes, there are tropes that are still attached, unfortunately, but I see at least people being able to stretch into the human experience other than just a carbon copy. This is what a Black woman would do in this scenario and scene. And that's encouraging.
Yeah, I look at, or I think about a character like Bria's character on The Good Doctor. And, you know, a character like that would not have existed. You know, me and Tiff, we from the same era. I wasn't allowed. My mom is Ethiopian, y'all, so she has different ass. Something.
Also, can you break Bria's character down? Help me out. I don't watch this show.
Okay, so Bria is a child genius. She's a doctor, but she created like a prosthetic or something when she was in college, in grad school, like in medical school. So she's like super financially secure outside of her being a doctor, right? So it's not like that's her thing. Like, she is a full-fledged character, like, you know, talks about her family. Like, you find out everything about her. And it's funny because, like, she's our personal friend, the actress. And, you know, she was not supposed to be a series regular. She was supposed to be, like, you know, a couple of episodes and that was it. But they loved the fact that they could flesh her story out so much that she wound up becoming a series regular and she's on the show. But she's a young Black woman doctor. I forget what her specialty is, like what she does. But, you know, you see her living like regular real life as a doctor, but also as this self-made woman of like, y'all can't treat me no kind of any old kind of way you want to treat me because I'm still good on the back end, you know? And that is a nuanced thing that's real, like, that's real, real life for a lot of Black women right now. Like, real, real life where we have multiple incomes, we have multiple businesses that we run and things that we're attached to, where if one person is acting up, it's like, you know what? I can go right back over here. So I love seeing her character and I love seeing the way it's developed. They're in their last season now, but I loved seeing the way that they developed her over the years.
Yeah. Thank you for taking some time to explain that. Probably not just to me, but anybody else who might, you know, listen to the episode. I think from what y'all are sharing and what I'm sitting here reflecting on is, yeah, we got to give credit where credit is due. Right. Like our likeness and image and the way we're represented, it has evolved in all these different ways. And even though we deal with folks who we can take somebody like a Sexy Red, for example, you got some folks who see somebody like Sexy Red and want to shoot that down. Oh, no, that's a bad representation of Black womanhood and Black culture and Black people. But I'm like, there are a lot of folks that find resemblance and feel familiar when they see someone like Sexy Red. So who are we to say that that is not a good representation? Because she represents a group of Black people, because we're all not cut from the same cloth, right? So even being able to see increased representation of Black women beyond the binary, like that's been incredibly dope. Black women of different hues and shapes, right? Of different regional experiences throughout this country and across the world. And we're in greater control of our narratives, right? We have more power to push our stories out through like Black-owned media. We have internet, damn social media alone, right? Like all these brilliant Black content creators across the generations. And so I think we're going to continue to add to how our image is seen, and it's going to upset Black folks. It's going to upset everybody, and folks going to be all right. But we have to recognize there's space for all of it. Even if you may not vibe with that, somebody sees that and they're like, oh, this makes me feel good about who I am. And so like, we can't say that that is not a good representation of Black women or Black womanhood. It's just a different one that I think people need to see, and it's relevant and important. It needs to be celebrated.
Yeah, I'm a champion for womanhood that doesn't mirror my own.
Absolutely. Right?
All womanhood, like yeah. All Black womanhood deserves to be celebrated and embraced and uplifted. Like we just deserve it. And I was watching a video when Tim's won an award recently. I don't know if it was the NAACP Awards or the Black Hollywood Awards, but she was like, the women keep the women.
We said, always have.
The women keep the women. And I was like, yes, because
always have.
Truth is the truth.
We gotta have us. Nobody else gonna have us like we have us. And that's just the truth.
And yeah. You know what's so awesome? I also appreciate seeing different women in Hollywood, different Black women in Hollywood, when you see them talking about how they support each other behind the scenes, behind the contracts, you know, how they literally are like, I'm not going to take that gig because you tried to play my sister out for less money. So you're not going to get me either. Like that sisterhood is happening all around. And I think without social media, we may not hear about that. So we may believe that we're just so catty and hateful to each other and, you know, trying to take each other's spot, because that's something that's been pushed a lot. And it's not always true. So it's great to see, like, yes, Black women can get along. Yes, Black women can get together and create things and support each other and not have to be all housewives of whatever city. You know, it's way bigger than that. And we actually have a lot more love for each other than people believe.
Hell yeah. We would have been gone up out of here if we didn't know how to get along with each other. Gone up out of here. Like, if we weren't out here taking care of each other in the ways that are seen and unseen, even thinking about my own particular profession and the importance and role of Black women in the field of social work, but also how Black women have been doing social work before they knew what social work was, right? Like taking care of neighbors, looking out for their elders, feeding kids in your neighborhood, cooking for the community. Like, if we didn't do it, we would have been gone up out of here a long time ago. So that narrative of like Black women don't get along, it was never created by us. Like, that's a tool of the oppressor to keep us divided and separated from each other. Because if we're collectively moving together, then they got a lot to be fearful of. And so, of course, they're going to push that. So when I look at you, I don't see somebody I could trust. And that's just false.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All that bag of chips. I'm curious, because we know that women have women, and by we, I mean some Black men, can't speak for us all. But then my question becomes, what role should Black men play in uplifting, protecting, and supporting Black women? And do you think they should play a role?
I mean, not causing harm would be the start.
like not killing us would be cool. You know. We could start there.
The basic type situation, and supporting each other on what it looks like to support and love a Black woman, because just like we need to support each other, I would encourage brothers to support each other. Like, we'll pull each other's skirt tails and say, baby, your slip is showing. Brothers, whatever that equivalent is, pull each other's coattail and be like, bruh, your slip is showing. You know, and encourage brothers to listen to that, because there are times when things happen, you can get caught up in the hype of it and not really think about how your response is landing on someone else, and then can get super into, well, she said and she acted like, without saying, pause, let me step back. Is there something that I did that could have encouraged her response? Is there something that I said? Was I not listening? Was I not in tune with what she's experiencing? Have I given her the space to share without worry, without fear? Am I actually listening? And that's, you know, everybody can work on that listening thing. But in terms of like how Black men can support, like, really have dialogue with each other about how do you listen and communicate with women? Are you hearing them through the pain of your past, or are you hearing what they're saying? You know, we can do the same things, but I think often Black women will have those spaces, you know, whether it's we're at the hairdresser talking, we're at brunch talking, we're on the phone talking, wherever we are, we talk to some people's chagrin, we talk. So if you all, like on this platform with this podcast, if you are having those conversations about healthy communication, about self-reflection, I think that would be an amazing help and support.
Yeah. What kind of comes up for me with that one is everything you said, right? And Black men really need to divest from this delusion of patriarchy. Black men also need to release or give up this mission of trying to get closer to white power structures and systems, thinking it's going to get them something. And most importantly, Black men need to really sit and reflect in the ways they take on the role of the oppressor in Black women's lives, right? So like, we can talk about, you know, talk to one another. And yeah, that's going to be important. But it's all like, who are you talking to? And do they have that level of awareness of how patriarchy and white supremacy and oppression is operating in your lives? And can y'all deconstruct and have those conversations with each other to then reflect on how it shows up in your relationships with women? And so I'm not even certain that a lot of Black men have an awareness of the ways in which they oppress women, because it's been coded like things like, oh, we have to protect, we have to provide. Well, some of these forms of protection and providing are forms of oppression and harm. But we're not deconstructing and talking about those things. And so I get it. Like, it's a nuanced conversation. It's a complex conversation. And I'm deeply concerned of just kind of the state of Black men in general, like just the state of Black men in general, because, you know, they're necessary. Y'all are necessary. We need each other to make this thing work. Right. But it's, do we need y'all the way you are right now? Because some of the, not speaking in general terms, but it's like the way Black men are kind of functioning and operating right now is they're harming Black women. They're not caring for Black women the ways that they might believe they're doing it because of that attachment to patriarchy and the way patriarchy shows up and has them behave as oppressors in Black women's lives. Got to figure that out. And that's not a role of a Black woman to help you do that.
And I would just like to add, sis, is there even an awareness that something is wrong? I think there's the start that there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it not necessarily being wrong at the hands of a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Absolutely. How can you even have a conversation about understanding something if you don't even think there's a problem?
Exactly.
Let alone where the problem originated.
Exactly. Especially in a society like America, where patriarchy made all the rules for how we live life. But then you also have that component of race that's thrown in there. So a lot of time, like, Black men get under this delusion that because you're a man, that all these other things are kind of a benefit to you. But then there's, like, at the same time, everybody, we're all getting beat over the head by capitalism and white supremacy. Like, they all beating us up. And y'all not making it no better because you're believing the delusion. Because you're trying to behave in a way to get closer to white power structures, thinking then people are going to let you come in their door and play with them. And that's just not true. So the awareness, absolutely. I don't know how many are aware, but then do they have to be? Under patriarchy, do you have to be aware?
I'm kind of curious because, yes. I'm curious about, what about the men who believe in their heart of hearts that they're doing the work? And might not say, well, not all men, sis, not all of us, we out here.
Yeah, y'all are out there, but are y'all pulling coattails?
That part. That's the part. I watched, Boys in the Hood is such a good film. I don't care when you watch it, it's such a good film to look at, like, what is going on with Black people, right? That scene where Trey and Ricky are in the car and Trey is trying to talk to him about Nia Long's character. I forget her name. And Ricky is just clowning him. And Trey has, like, really good thoughts. He's being attentive. He's like, he's saying all the right things. And the whole time, Ricky is just clowning him and clowning him and clowning him. And I say that to say, for the brothers who are out there and are trying to do the work, a lot of times they got two or three brothers in their ear clowning them for being emotionally available, for being supportive, for being a good communicator. Now they a simp, they a clown, because they're doing the work. And a lot of times you will see men give up because it's not worth it to do this work and gain this one thing and lose 20 other things. Right. Yeah. So somewhere there has to be a reckoning amongst the men themselves of, like, there needs to be a real conversation, you know. And I keep, like, trying to get, like, some of my older men that I know is doing the work to be like, y'all need to start this conversation. You need to start this conversation. Did y'all watch the Bridgerton series when the queen was young?
Yeah.
Yes.
And her brother basically sold her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember that? I had said that what I felt like was it was similar to how Black women got sold out during the crack epidemic.
Like welfare queen type stuff.
Yeah, how we got sold out at that time, and then how we got sold out in the rap era. Mm. It's two things. Whenever money is in play, we will get thrown out the window. We will get thrown out the window by the men who claim to love us when that money is in their face.
Yeah. I apologize. Khalif know I'm a fool, but when you said like get thrown out the window, I literally visualized Tyler Perry and the movie with Janet Jackson. He literally threw that baby out the window.
Out like, the window.
Literally.
Yeah.
Thrown out.
And yeah, I don't want to go down the colored girls walkway just because I have so much respect for the play.
Okay.
Not the movie.
There's a reason why the men aren't in the play. Okay,
a reason.
And y'all just said a word.
That's a but if you talk, if you're talking about Spike Lee and representation in his films and having a great jumping off point for conversations about Black men and women, I recently rewatched Mo Better Blues, and I have always loved that film. I have even more appreciation for it now. One, it's beautifully shot. Two, just the colors pop. It says 90s and class and sophistication, but it also says womanizing and what happens when you play both ends and you get broke up and you expect them to just be there. Boy, yeah. And now you're broke down. So there's like so many conversations even in that, are we pulling the brothers' coattails about, you know, how not to mess over folk, how not to mess over a good thing? And to your point, Kim, you know, when are you connecting the dots to the origins of that behavior, the origins of that thought process? For some folks, they don't even want to hear it. You know what I mean? Like I told Khalif before he asked me to join this conversation, I have been on a self-mute situation for a while, just because one, I've just been tired.
But your voice is so beautiful. People need to hear your voice on a microphone.
Thank you. It's just my, you know, I am open to evolving. I am open to receiving new information and challenging what I thought I knew with what I've learned. I'm open to questioning things, but not being land blasted for asking questions without being demonized for even saying I'm going to take my voice out of the room so I can refine my voice. So I'm actually clear about what I'm saying and making sure that what I say aligns with what I believe. And then you get land blasted for any and all things. And I think there's times, even in a very casual space, where men can push the men can push the ego button on your behalf, saying that a woman is being egotistic for taking a stance. To not take a stance on something while you regroup. I think the concept of I'm going to pull myself out to regroup, whether it's I'm pulling myself out of dating, I'm pulling myself out of a social conversation, you get demonized some kind of way for saying, whoa, this is too much. Let me figure it out, as if enough people aren't thinking they should do that. Yeah. Like the mouth needs to constantly go for them to be relevant. And no, actually, there's more relevance in the silence. If when you do speak, it just doesn't sound like noise. And I get tired of. It's like I can't say this without having to go through the murk of, well, you just about before you get to your conversation, you're dipping and dodging judgment. And I don't have the energy, y'all. I'm a woman of a certain age. I carry heat with me everywhere I go. I don't have time.
Amen.
And scene.
Listen, that's all the way real. And man, I appreciate all of those perspectives. Thank you for being willing to legitimately push back in the ways that men need to be pushed back and sat down and shut up.
With love. Yeah, because we love y'all.
Because, I mean, you about to have them in our DMs and then what? I'm going to send them all to you.
Yeah. This is all love. This is not some, I don't need no man. There is not that conversation
at all.
Like a fat kid love cake.
At all.
Like hard body. Hard body though. Like the girls, my students. Hard body. I want him on my body, Miss B. Ooh, I want him on my body. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, what? You don't want to be suffocated anymore. Be on my body. Don't choke me.
Mm. Amen.
But can I also say this before we like move on to the next thing? The thing that makes me want those things so badly is because I have so many amazing Black men in my life. You know, my father being one, God rest his soul, who are doing the work, have done the work, stand by the work, push other people to do the work. Like my dad would like get on my uncles, like bad, like hard. You know, like, what? We don't do that. We don't do, you know, like, when I see that, I know that it exists. So wanting it on a larger scale, you know, because before it didn't used to bother me. I'm like, what if the men in my family? Well, the men in my family, that doesn't help the larger community, Tiffany. You're safe. Your girls are safe. Your granddaughter might be safe. But what about your students? What about your sister friends? That doesn't help them. And then it doesn't save you from something happening when you go out into the world, right? So that's the part that for me is so heart-wrenching. It's like, I know that these men exist, so I need to see more of them because we deserve more of them. And y'all deserve, you know, better brothers. Y'all deserve better brotherhood. Y'all deserve better friendships. Right? Just the whole community, we deserve better.
I'm just saying it wasn't always like this. So I need folks to tap into the radical imagination to remember or to get close to that memory. It was not like this. Colonialism did this to us.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah. Brothers need community. I used to teach high school and would be heartbroken every day. Hearing how the young men just don't seem to have that kind of support from any of the adults in their lives. And so they grow up with this hurt, with this abandonment, with whatever else is developing inside, and they don't feel that they have community. They feel like they have to create it, but in ways that may not be healthy for them or their community in general. But just having that space, like what you, Khalif, and the brothers have created here, having that space where there is another brother saying, yo, you're good. You're good. I'm telling you, you're good because I'm going to help you be good. Like there needs to be more of that and very, very visible. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, listen, if they get in your DMs, Kim, go ahead and send them to me. I got time, energy, and space.
I'm going
to
walk them right on over.
Listen, I got you. Trust me. I see the shit online, and I'm just like, I don't know what, like, I knew things were bad, but wow.
That e-thugging is different. People be just, you know, thugging a whole different way online. Like, pull up and say to somebody's face like that.
Right. They can't. And that's the only reason why I was saying what I was saying is like,
I'll walk you like a dog without cussing. Don't do that.
I love it.
So this is an intentionally vague question just to see where it goes for each of you. And I think you may have already said it, but what do you need?
I need for Black maternal health to get better. I need for Black women to stop dying in childbirth unnecessarily. And I need for Black women to stop getting overlooked with illnesses and misdiagnosed taking extra long for them to be diagnosed. I need for 35-year-old women to not die of cervical cancer because their doctor says that they have. That's what I need. And I need it now. Mm. Like yesterday. Because it's too much. Black maternal health being at a horrific rate for 30 years is insane to me. That it hasn't gotten better in 30 years. It's just continued to get worse for 30 years. Mm. And all we doing is having conversations about it? No. Mm-mm. That's what I need. I'm off my soapbox.
Don't get off of it. I need our ability to dream to be restored. Like our ability to dream collectively and individually to be restored. You know, like existing as Black and woman in this world, one of the things that all these systems of oppression will do is take your ability to dream away from you. So when we think about the little Black girls who one day they had a dream to insert, right, be this, do that, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And not just gone, it's stolen from them. Mm. Right? And so when we think about even our grandmothers, our mothers, their mothers, how many Black women lost their ability to dream because life has just been, life didn't, well, hell, they don't want us here. So of course they're going to make it hard for us to live. And if it's hard for us to live, then you can't really dream about what's possible for yourself. And so I really want Black women's ability to dream to be restored. And one of the ways that I believe we can get that back is by reclaiming rest, right? One of the ways we get our ability to dream back is to sit our asses down, to tell people no. Like you said, pull yourself out of conversations, pull yourself out the room, sit down, lay down, say no, turn your phone off, ignore people, right? To be able to get closer to restoring our ability to dream again, because it's going to be necessary for us to maintain an imagination.
Oh, yes, and to both of you, yes, and I need individuals to get interested in not demonizing mental illness. I need for people to make space for people to go ahead and lay down if they need it. The thing about accountability, when you hold someone accountable, are you holding yourself accountable for being clear about what you're holding the other person accountable for? Or are you just hiding your own personal judgment and spewing it at them? I need for folks to understand that there is a nuance there, which you think you know, you might not actually know. How often have you had a conversation with a person to find out who and how they are? I lost a friend, air quotes, story time, lost a friend, air quotes, when on a very complicated day in my life, the day that we buried my stepfather, I did not look at Facebook. I sat in my bedroom in the dark, just literally contemplating everything that has occurred. And I get a message for whatever reason. I decide to just check my Facebook messages. I get a message from someone who, no, hello, no, how are you? Just asked me to do something. And in my space of, I'm literally trying to process my life, I said, hello, maybe. I corrected them on just, can we start with asking me if I'm okay? And that set off a whole thing. They lambasted me, talked about me being selfish, said I wasn't a friend. I wanted to say so many things, but I was muted because I was processing. I need that to stop happening. I need for people to actually think about other people and think that maybe whatever they're experiencing has nothing to do with them. ask someone first, how are you? And be interested in the answer, even if you can't do anything about it. Just saying, how are you, and not glossing over it can make a difference. Those are the things that I need.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that, Tiffany. Tiffany Bacon. Thank you all for sharing that. That it's weighted, it's heavy, and it literally lands with me. And in my heart of hearts, I hope that it continues to land with our viewers and folks online who need a good Black word, as Kim would say. Where can people, where can the good folks find you all? Y'all all do dope stuff. So as you're telling us, like, where folks can find you, go ahead and drop a little nugget as to what you do, all the things you do, the things that bring joy and love. And let us know, you know, where we can find you on the socials, what websites you got, what events you're trying to promote, what merch you got.
Oh, I can go. So I can be found on Instagram at dopeblack_socialworker. Same thing with the website is dopeblacksocialworker.com. Also have a podcast called The Revolutionary Hood Rap, where we literally seek to reclaim what hood rap means while also increasing the visibility of Black and brown social workers in the field, because oftentimes we are forgotten about, we're not seen. And most importantly, folks don't see us as human, right? So being able to show up as our full selves and tell stories as our full selves. Some of the things that I enjoy to do outside of just the work, because this work is not who I am, it's just a small piece of what I am and what I have to offer. Also something I have no intentions of doing beyond the year 2030. Folks who know me in other spaces, I have every intent to retire from the field of social work before by the year 2030, because I want to do hood rat shit with my friends. Okay. Also want to do hood rat shit by myself. If that includes laying on my sofa watching Tubi, going to brunch and twerking somewhere, walking in the park, hopping on the Amtrak train and just riding it to Philly to walk around. Like, I want to be able to just have the freedom of time to choose what I would like to do with it. So, yes, folks can find me at dopeblack_socialworker.com. I'm not selling anything at this moment in time, and I don't have anything to offer, but people can pay me to come talk. And if you go to my website, you can see the booking link to make that happen.
Okay, I guess I'll go. So this is Tiffany Bacon, like Kevin. no relation that I know of. That 6 degrees is real in Philly. So yeah, I do multiple things. I am a costume designer for theatrical productions. If you happen to be in Rochester, New York, Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, go check that out until March 31st, starring the one and only Lauren Talese as Lady Day and Will Brock as Jimmy. I forget his last name. He's the pianist. So I was honored to be able to design the costumes for that show. And a couple of other shows coming up in Philly. I am also the creative and production director at WURD Radio, one of three remaining Black-owned and operated radio stations in the country. That's big. So yes, I do a lot of creative work there. I am currently putting together an event for June Black Music Month. If you can come join us at World Cafe Live, Friday, June 14th, we are doing an event, part of our Message in the Music series. This is called the Trans Afro Express Global Impact of African, Caribbean, and African American Music. There will be a panel discussion in a pate. So come on and enjoy that. That is Juneteenth weekend. Juneteenth is that following Wednesday. And you can also check out, I do what's called a groovy playlist, a show called The Let Out. It's like late on a Sunday, like 2 a.m. on a Sunday, but you can check out the music. I put the playlist together on SoundCloud. So if you go to soundcloud.com/onWURD, look for The Let Out and get your groove on.
Okay, so I'm bringing up the tail end. You can find me on all social platforms as The Tiff Barrett, T-H-E TIFFBARRETT. I am a multi hyphenate artist, actor, dancer, choreographer, writer, all the things. And I'm just going to pick like one thing because it's 75 of them. and teacher. That's my love. That's my love. Teaching the young folks. Right now, I'm choreographing a cotillion. That is something that is near and dear to my heart. A tradition that is being lost in the Black community. You know, that is something that, you know, throughout the South and the North, we used to have these coming of age ceremonies for our youth, and we just don't have them anymore. So I'm trying to keep that alive. You can find information about it on my Instagram page to maybe have your child participate for next year, because this year is already coming up. It's April 7th. I also have a film premiering. I know this is long, but Thanksgiving, I have a film premiering on Tubi. It's going to be one of them good Tubi movies, y'all. It's going to be one of them good Tubi movies. I promise. But it is called Christmas Bay. It's one of the Bay franchises. There's Work Bay, Work Bay 2. And now Christmas Bay is the third installation of the Work Bay franchise by Kyrie Terrell.
You know how excited I am?
Oh, I'm so glad that you're excited. I didn't have anything to do on the production side, but on the production side, a series that we wrote forever ago, y'all, they just put it on Tubi like last month. It's called Singledom. So Singledom is now on Tubi. We re-edited it and made it like a film instead of a series. So again, like I said, it's 50 million things. Those are just the things that I want to share. And I also am the owner of a women's wellness brand. That is my gift to my sisters. It is a labor of love. Magic V Steam. So you can find my products at magicvsteam.com. All of our social media is also Magic V Steam. But yes, I own a women's wellness company. We have Yoni Care products, Yoni soap, Yoni steamers, Yoni steam herbs, all of those things. So check us out. And that's about it.
And Kim, real quick, I saw that you were in a film or something. It looked like a trailer. What are we also dabbling into acting? Because
we're doing whatever's going to get us liberated and free from some working someone else's job.
Yes.
But no, that was one of the young people that I had the honor and privilege of just knowing and supporting any way that I can. He is a filmmaker and a director. And so he put together a spec for Reebok. And to tell a story, it's called A Father's Affirmation. And so it's a short film about a Black girl and her relationship with her father. And it is beautifully done. It's beautifully done. So I would encourage anyone to check Barrett Miller's work out. And you can find it. He put it on Instagram for right now, the full thing. And it's called A Father's Affirmation. I will also note, Tiffany B, I just looked up your movie. And as I was looking up the movie, The Singledom on Tubi, a new one just dropped. It's called Pole Queens. Came out last year. Oh, I'm watching this tonight. It's a dance battle at a strip club. Woo! This is how I relax from, like, this is how I decompress from the world.
Listen, I love everything about it. I love it. As soon as she said it, I was like, okay, this is it. My hope, as a small hope in the grander scheme of what we wanted to do tonight, was to make sure that social workers and artists built the bridge, because we are healers and we are agitators. And I just, as much as I can build a bridge, I'm going to do it as best I can. We are so incredibly grateful. Y'all really could have been anywhere else. And Tiff, about 2 hours ago, you would have been somewhere else, but you came through, and I can't thank y'all enough. We can't thank y'all enough. So that's it. Unless y'all got anything else.
Thank you.
I thank
y'all. Yeah,
like, yes, thank you. That TU love run deep.
TU. You know.
All right, I feel like I'm outnumbered here. Just jump me into the gang or not, but don't just throw up your gang signs and your gang calls without including me in it.
Oh, sorry. I love it.
Oh, man. All right, well, that's it. Appreciate y'all. It's all love.
Amen. Thank you.
This was awesome.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the episode of Dear Black Man, You Good? If you have any suggestions for future topics or questions you want answered on the show, email us at dearblackmanpodcast@gmail.com. That's dearblkmanpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast by hitting that notification button and follow us on Instagram at dearblackman_you good. Black men, remember, we see you, we hear you, we love you, we are you. We out.